Blog Talk Radio.
The computer buffering? Computer buffering? There we go. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the offering. We're at June. Summer is upon us. June 3rd, 2021. Welcome to the offering, the show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. The show where me and my folks get together and rap about the days. I know, tongue-tied, right? Oh, yeah, pour another drink. The show where me and my folks get together, rap about the day's mathematics, see what's going on in these streets, see what's going on in the news. See what's going on in life, and we just get together and have a good conversation. Names and faces are usually hidden, just because, you know, we pour a couple glasses of wine, pour a couple glasses of whiskey, just in case people get too loose, I have too much fun. I don't want anybody to get fired from it. Social media is crazy. So a lot of nicknames on here, but most of these people that I talk to are good, loving folks from all different walks of life. Wherever you're at, hope the weather's good, hope the energy's good, hope you're feeling good, hope you got some good spirits in your life. If you got bad spirits in your life, even if I'm that bad spirit, get it out of your life. It's okay. I won't feel bad. Yeah. Feel free to call in 929-477-3975. We have a bunch of topics to get tonight. We have a bunch of stuff to get to, but tonight we got a special guest. Tonight it's going to be a little bit different. I know we usually hop on the show and, you know, just start kicking it, just start seeing what's going on with everybody. But tonight it's a little different. I like to bring on people that I know personally that do things differently than most of the people that I know do, people who are interested in things outside my normal walk of life. And tonight is no different. Tonight is one of those nights where, you know, I bring on a friend of mine, and we're gonna have a good conversation about the things that she wants to talk about tonight. So now we got DJ C Siren in the building. DJ C Siren, say welcome to everybody.
Hey, welcome to the off-ramp.
There you go. We got Blur in the building. Blur, say what's up to everybody.
What up, everybody? That was a horrible intro, though. I just want to say that. I mean, whoever your special guest is, I need you to give them a better intro than that, because that was horrible.
Well, I wanted to be a surprise on what we're going to talk about. So I don't want to give too much information. I want to be able to introduce her and let her explain the things that she do, and then we'll go from there. So, Blur, we're going to have a good conversation with our special guest. I'm going to leave you off mute, so if you have a question that you want to jump in with her, feel free to jump in, but please be nice. She is our guest. She is a friend of mine, and I will mute you if you become a jerk.
Fuck you, man. Cool. I'm always nice.
DJ C. Siren said I should mute you now.
I'm not going to say fuck her, but fuck you. I'm always nice.
J-K.
I'm the nicest person on here.
JKJK.
Wait till I tell DJ C. Siren what you said about women. We'll get into that later. Hey, so everybody else, I'm going to leave y'all on mute. I'm going to leave Blur off mute. DJ C. Siren, you have to be off mute because you're here. But Blur, watch your background noise. So without further ado, I want to welcome Stephanie Shirley. Stephanie, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for inviting me on. Got my glass of wine ready to talk about.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. I told you, pour a glass of wine, pull up, let's have a good conversation tonight. So I want to make sure I get this right. So you are of Hoppler Creek Honey. What is Hoppler Creek Honey?
Hoppler Creek Honey is the name I'm going with because that's where my bees are getting their honey from. So my I'm a beekeeper, and because people like to know, a lot of people like to know where their honey is coming from, so they know if it's going to help them with their allergies, that kind of thing. So I thought it would be a good name since we are literally backed up to Hoppler Creek Park in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Okay, so we're going to get – I have a lot of questions for you. I've been looking at bees. I don't hate bees. That's kind of hyperbole. I'm always scared of bees. They're like little flying monsters. But we're going to get to the allergy portion of it too, because I've been telling people that DJ T. Siren was the one who put me onto it. That if you eat bee pollen daily, local bee pollen, it'll help your allergies. So I want to make sure we get into that later. So keep that in mind. But Stephanie Shirley of Hoppler Creek Honey, welcome to the offer. I'm glad to have you on. Hope you become a returning guest. So let me ask you the first question. How'd you get into bees? Like, what made you say these things that are flying around with stingers that are obsessed with one woman, I'm going to take care of
them? That is a great question. I wonder that for every beekeeper, because it's a different story, I think, for everyone. But my dad, he had a friend that just kind of got him into it. I don't know if he just gave him some bees. And it's kind of usually what happens is you meet someone or someone else has been into them, or you maybe saw a swarm. But my dad, back when we lived in Georgia, was like, hey, I've been beekeeping, and do you want a hive? Like, I could put a hive in your backyard. You got almost an acre of land. You should put a hive in the back of your yard. I was like, that sounds crazy. But, I mean, I love honey, and we go through some honey pretty quickly in our house. So I'm all about creatures or things that will give back to me. So if I'm going to plant a tree, it's going to be a fruit tree. If I'm going to have an animal, it's going to be a chicken that gives me eggs. And so the idea of bees, I was like, that sounds fantastic. They'll make me honey, and then I don't have to buy it anymore. So he brought down a hive to me, and that's a whole other story of how you bring hives to people's houses. he set it up, showed me how to go through the frames. It was terrifying because I definitely was just like, they're going to sting me any second. And so, of course, you're definitely terrified of being stung every 5 seconds. But, I was fascinated by them. I think once I got into it and just realized that, like, I could hold hundreds of bees on a frame and watch how they work, and just they're just so intricate and they're so detailed. And as a hive, the more I've learned about them, it's just they're so complex. And yet, I went full force into it, started doing removals in people's houses and trees and catching swarms that people would have just hanging on trees or whatnot. And I loved it. I thought they were the coolest little creatures that God made. So I just continued to multiply it. And then when we moved up here to Virginia, I had to start over again. But once again, my dad was like, hey, you want a hive? So now I have multiplied again.
Because that's going to be my next question. Like, how does somebody just, like, your uncle said, yo, I got some bees. You want me to bring a hive over? How does that happen? Like, how do you bring just bees over to somebody's house and, like, all right, bees, here you go?
Right.
And
they're
going to start singing.
No, right. Yeah. They're a lot more docile than you think they are. And the more you learn how to handle them, the less they're going to be aggressive with you. Because you learn how to be really careful how you pull the frames out. You can smoke the front of the hive to kind of what that does. It actually gives them this idea of like, oh, there's smoke. There must be a fire. And they all go gorge on honey. And then they actually are more passive. and they're not sending out this alert signal to each other. So there's different things you do. As far as traveling, you can actually put a ratchet strap around the boxes that the bees are in, and then cover the entrance with a screen so they can still breathe. And then you can put them in the front seat of your car, or you can put them on in your truck bed, which is what we did. We put them on the back of our tow hitch of our SUV when we drove them up a couple years ago. So,
But how do you get them in a box? They're flying monsters.
Well, because that's their home. Same reason why if someone gets them in their ceiling, you can't just, like, spray the outside and expect them to just disappear. They actually, that's like, they're not going anywhere until you take that comb out. So if you take a queen, so there's only one queen in a hive, if you take a queen and she's in that box, those bees are going to stay with her, and they're going to stay with the babies of that hive, which are called a brood, and they're going to, they're not going anywhere, unless for some reason there's, occasionally you'll have a story where, you know, a mouse has taken over the hive, so they have to leave the place, or maybe they have too
a
many
mouse?
Pests, like hives. Yeah, I've never had any mouse issues, but I've heard of people having a mouse take over their hive. They go in there for, like, the winter.
Over? How does a mouse
right.
take
well,
over
what,
a hive? Like, you just start eating it, and then bees leave?
Yeah. But I think it's generally in the wintertime because they stay in a cluster to stay warm, and so the mouse has just kind of taken over and destroyed all the comb around them.
It's like Godzilla.
Like I said, I've never... Yeah, pretty much. Or a bear. Oh, gosh. Have you ever heard of a bear, like, destroying hives?
I know the whole Winnie the Pooh thing. I stay away from wildlife as much as I can. Those animals have a mind of their own. And I feel like, you know, outside is their space, inside is my space. If I'm outside, I'm liable to get stung because I'm in their area. If they come in my house, they got to die. I mean, and that goes with anything except for a dog and a cat. So I try to keep my boundaries when it comes to animals. But, like, I know the whole Winnie the Pooh thing. And eating honey, but I thought that was just a cartoon thing. But I guess, you know, because bears eat, like, fish and stuff. I didn't think they really ate honey, but I guess anything sweet. But honey isn't really sweet. Stephanie, can we get rid of that myth? Like, if you eat raw honey, it's not good. Like, it's a good mixture with anything else. But if you just took a bite out of a honey, like some honey, it's not like a scoop of honey. It's
when
not good.
When have you not had, like, a piece of raw honey?
When you made me take it for my allergies. You see, Stephanie, this is what happens. This is what happens when you have your wife on
honey.
The show.
That was processed. What are you talking about?
It said raw honey.
Well,
anyway,
that answers the question I had. So, Stephanie, I'm sorry. I keep wanting to call you B Lady, so I apologize if that offends you.
All good.
But
nope.
were you into honey? Like, was that, like, your jam when you were growing up?
Oh, that's a terrible joke.
Not really. Not really.
No, that wasn't a joke.
Really.
Like, I was just saying, like, people say, like, that's my jam.
Nah.
Like, I'm just wondering, like, was honey,
nah.
like, your thing? Was that what you were into?
That's an awful pun. That's an awful pun. Awful. Awful. It's about as bad as your music taste, boy. That's awful. I'm going to let Stephanie answer the question, but I want to let you know I know what you did there, and it was bad. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Oh.
Feel free to answer, boy.
I liked honey. I liked peanut butter and honey sandwiches. I don't think I realized until I got older of, like, okay, I really like to bake, and I'm trying not to have as much sugar in my life, so why not put honey in there? Mix it up a little bit. But, dude, that you've got to try cut comb. That might be a totally different experience for you. David, my husband, he was not a huge fan of the whole idea in the first place because he knows that when my dad says, hey, do you want to take this on, it usually is a lot more work than he says it is. It can be a lot to be a beekeeper. But anyway, so try and cut comb. If you literally take the honey comb and pop it in your mouth, it is sweet. It is delicious. And I will have to get you some because
But your husband owes me a bottle of honey. I'm pretty sure he has it in the office, and I just haven't come by to get it. But your husband definitely owes me. He was supposed to bring me a bottle of honey about a month ago, and I ain't heard from him since. Usually he'll call me and say, come on up. I ain't heard from him since, and I know he's listening.
I can beat you. I was supposed to go with
Stephanie. Yeah, you can say it real name.
So,
I
forgot we
were going to
take you
right. That's hilarious. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in his office.
And that was a while ago, so, yeah.
Yeah, please, but but how do you pop a honeycomb in your mouth? But aren't bees just on it? Like, don't you got to wash it off first? Because ain't honey just bee poop?
No. Some people call it bee throw up, but even that's actually not technically true. They have, you know, like cows have extra stomachs and they like regurgitate their food.
No.
So bees.
Never heard of that. Never heard of that. I'm now
you
vegan.
Know that? Okay. Okay. So bees have a different way to process and make the nectar turn. They actually pass it back and forth between the bees before they put it into the comb itself.
They're Eskimo, bro.
But believe me,
they're
super sanitary. They don't poop in the hive. They don't they're super sanitary. And honey itself is so antimicrobial it's good. I mean, that's why people have found it in like the pyramids and stuff from thousands of years ago, and you can still eat it, and it tastes just the same.
Wound dressings, antimicrobial means kills bacteria. So there's honey wound dressings that hospitals use, that doctors use to help with wound care.
Oh, interesting.
It's called many honey.
There's no way all them dudes can sleep with one woman and it not there not be something going on in there. It can't be sanitary. When there's one woman and a bunch of dudes, it's never sanitary. I live with
Here's the thing.
We are not.
You only mate one time.
Okay.
She's not doing it all the time. She goes out on a mating flight and then she's done. She mates with, like, 8 drones in one flight or two flights sometimes, and then she's done.
Oh,
and those drones actually die when they mate with her. So they're
what?
She's a slut, but she's definitely one-time slut.
Hold on. So she doesn't – so why do all the dudes stick with her in that one beehive if they not the ones getting the cheeks?
Those are her babies. If they're in her hive, they're not the ones she's mating with. Yeah, those are just her baby boys.
Man, that's
clear
crazy. That's nuts. I never would have known all that about bees. So.
Yeah. David wants me to tell you about the Undertaker bee, by the way.
Oh, go ahead.
Have you heard about – so Undertaker bees, they literally – if speaking of the drones hanging out in there, or any bees that die in the hive or, something happens to them, they have to take out larvae or whatnot, they actually have what's called Undertaker bees. These bees literally carry the dead bees out of the hive and fly them as far as they can away from the hive. If there's like too many drones, they'll also kick the drones out in the wintertime, so they don't have to feed them and that kind of stuff. So the guys are definitely kicked out a lot. But yeah,
so
see, the
Undertaker bees are girls.
That's literally their job. Yeah, they're mostly girls in there.
So what's the difference between a girl bee and a boy bee? And I know one doesn't have a penis and a vagina. Or do they?
The boy bees do not have stingers. So you have three types of bees: the queen, The drone
that
is
makes
the boy.
Sense in life.
The worker
that
is
makes
the girl.
Sense, though. You just solved life right there. The boys, don't, the males don't have the stingers, but the females do. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. Yeah, they're yeah. So the female workers, they do everything. They build out the comb. They go out and forage and get the nectar and the pollen. They feed and tend to the queen. They feed and tend to the babies. And the drones, they come out and they're tended to, and then they go out and mate. And if they don't mate, they just hang out in the hive and eat. And some say that they make them make happier hives. So they're needed. They're absolutely needed. Otherwise, bees would not continue in life. But they're limited in their abilities. They're not very helpful otherwise.
Okay.
Now, hold on. I know. So I knew only the female bees have stingers. Do they really die after they sting you? Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. It pulls out their organs. It literally rips the because the stinger stays in you. So if you've ever been stung by a honeybee, you'll see the little stinger usually in your skin. And it's just trying to, like, wiggle into your skin. And, in fact, our son actually was walking around barefoot 2 days ago. I don't know why they haven't learned not to do that. But he definitely stepped on a bee. He came in. The little stinger was in his skin. And you could see also, like, the little extra stuff behind it is, like, the bees, the organs of the bee. And so, yeah, they definitely, I mean, their insides are ripped out when they sting. But it's only the honeybee. So a lot of other bees do not lose their stingers. I mean, like wasps, they can sting over and over and over again. But honeybees, yeah, they sting once and they're dead.
So why would they ever sting?
Because
they threaten. Kamikaze.
I feel like that's crazy.
If you're going to get stepped on, you might as well use
a
stinger.
Well, why not just fly away? Well, you could just fly away.
Well, I mean,
you could fly.
Yeah, yeah.
But
when you're under a foot.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you might as well get one last.
Were you ever concerned about the murder hornet? Is that like a thing? I know you mentioned mice. Yeah, I mean, that's. Yeah, I guess it's in your area. Mice might be a problem. But you missing, like, wasps. Like, what about the murder hornets? Like, did you have to, like, defend your bees from murder hornets or anything?
Blair,
no,
we were going to get to that.
That's a
great question. Steffi, I'm going to let you answer it. So I just want, because, Blair, that was one of my questions on it. So, Stephanie, I want you to explain what the murder hornets was and then answer Blair's question if you had to put up, like, a defense system against these decapitating hornets.
Yeah, that's a good question. And a lot of people started freaking out. But then I also, they were mostly coming in through the state of Washington, so they're nowhere near us for the longest time. But on top of that, they really, I was never really worried about them. I think, you know, too much happened in 2020 to be freaked out about. I was like, no, I'm not going to freak out about one more thing. They actually, surprisingly, there's a lot of things that will eat honeybees. Birds eat honeybees. The murder hornets, yeah, a lot of time you'll hear, like, they'll take over a hive. But you can also see if a hive is weak, I mean, wasps will come in and destroy some bees. It's not just murder hornets. So I was never really worried about it as long as my hives were healthy. So it's all about the number of bees that you have and whether they're able to defend their hive or not. So, yeah, no, I never really worried me too much. Plus, we're all the way in Virginia, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, because these hornets were going around. They said they were, like, taking the bees' heads off, right? Like, I mean, I haven't seen any video of this, but it seems pretty intensive. If a hornet decides to take its head off, I mean, it's kind of like the killer whale when they were, like, eating great white shark's liver and just letting the caskets float in the ocean. It's like, when did these animals get so evil? But I guess as humans, you know, we ain't too far behind them. But Yeah, we can talk about how terrible otters are too. We can talk. We can have that conversation next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty crazy. Go ahead, Stephanie.
No, I want to know about the otters, but I guess we'll wait. I'll wait until next time.
Wait, I actually had another question, man, because I definitely don't want to talk about no damn otters. Like, I've been hearing, like, there's a shortage of bees. Like wasn't, like, Trump or somebody trying to do something because of the bees? Like, it's like a world shortage. Bees are going to be, like, the next extinct insect or something like that. Like, they on their way out of here.
Uh-oh.
Or is that a lie?
Yeah, they're working on it. But I would say average, I think it's about 40% of people's bees don't make it through the winter. It's still pretty high. Yeah. So it's concerning. Like, for example, last winter, I went into the winter with 4 hives, and I came out with 3. So I did pretty good.
Oh.
I did 75%. So I was proud of my bees. But you just don't know. So here's the thing is, they think it's because of mites, which are these tiny little insects that are parasites that just feed off of bees. And, you know, it just makes them weak and obviously sick. And, you know, if you're sick and weak all winter long, it's like us having – it's like if we were like, hey, we're going to go through the winter having the flu and no house to live in that's going to keep you insulated, and you're just going to have to figure it out. Like, you'd die. You would die. or COVID, really. They think it's because of the mites, but there's some more and more research coming out, and hopefully we're figuring out ways to fend off mites. And that's been the kind of the biggest thing that they think is killing our bee population. Because otherwise,
5G.
I mean,
or cell towers, or cell phone towers. Like, they blame 5G for everything, but that kind of made a little bit of sense to me because, like, I don't know, I just assume bees and, like, cellular waves don't really mix. Like, am I just making that up? Is that, like, do they not, like, have sonar or radar or something?
For each other?
Yeah, like, when they communicate, like, with their, like, I know they leave, like when they pollinate, don't they like leave a trail or something for them to like sniff out?
Oh yeah. That's but each hive is their own team. That makes sense. But yeah, they'll communicate to each other. Like, hey, they'll do what's called a waggle dance, and they vibrate, and will tell each other, yeah, like, hey, this is where you can find nectar, and this is where you can find pollen. In fact, they'll actually like spit out a little bit for their friends to try, and then they'll be like, hey, this is what you can get at this location.
Stephanie, you've been lying to us all night. You went from it's sanitary to they be spitting up, they spitting in each other's mouths.
Oh my gosh. No, yeah, I mean, an insect's an insect, right? But I don't know. But
yeah.
The nectar, I will say, nectar is different from honey, too, because for it to actually be considered honey, it has to be under 18% water, and then they cap it off with the with wax, if that makes any sense. So even then, it's more. So
what?
If you
wax?
Look at a frame.
Like from a candle?
Yeah, they have. Yeah. They get it from bees.
That's what we eat?
So
hold on. I'm confused. So the honey, who's they? The bees?
Bees.
Yeah. Conceal wax. So is that honey? Honey is wax? Oh, they make wax?
No.
See, my wife gets so disappointed in my education. Go ahead, Stephanie. I don't know any of this stuff. I thought bees just make honey and they poop pollen.
They don't poop pollen. They don't do that. They actually make wax. It actually comes out of their gland. You'll have to Google it. I wish I could show you. They literally can make they make wax that they use to make the comb in their hives. And they build out the comb, and then they go out and forage, and then they get nectar from trees and pollen, right? So they, you don't make honey from pollen. Is just to feed their baby. The nectar, though, what they do is they take the nectar, they pack it into these, into the frame, right, or into the comb, and then if it's not they fan it to get rid of the water content in there to where it's not nearly as much water. It's a lot more concentrated. And then by doing that, it can last forever and ever. But if they don't fan out the water and cap it, then it'll actually, you know, if it was left to its own devices, it would ferment, which is actually how they invented, or how pirates or people on ships, and I'm trying to remember the full story, they invented mead. Have you ever heard of mead?
Honey,
yeah, drink.
Honey, I love liquor. Yeah. Now, we can talk liquor. You know me, Steph.
Yeah.
The bees will get drunk.
The bees will get
That's
drunk.
Right. You'll make you drunk. And they got it from, because honey dripped into this water. I'm totally botching the story. That, like, it dripped into the water on the ship, and the sailors drank it, and they all got drunk, and they realized that it was because the honey had poured into the water. And it fermented. And so they realized that, oh, okay, so there's a difference between capped honey versus uncapped honey. And that's why any beekeeper will be like, well, it's not considered honey unless it's capped, unless they've put the wax on and they've made it less water. So, long story.
So do you have uncapped honey too?
In the hives, I don't personally get it out, although I do have a friend that does make mead, and it's delicious. But I let them keep it. I don't harvest the honey unless it is capped, because then I would be getting all my friends drunk, and I can't do that legally.
You got us drunk. I was just messing with you, Stephanie. I don't want to tell your kid name, but we did have a great night. We had a great night hanging out, and then the pandemic hit, so we gotta get y'all over here so we can have another good night. But that is interesting. I didn't realize that. So it comes out the gland,
mm-hmm.
and they put it in the honeycomb, and that's what makes the honey. So honey doesn't come out of the bee. It's a process.
Right.
It's the
from
process
the
that they take from the plant, that they get from plants. So when you see a bunch of bees on, like, flowers and stuff, they're never going to bother you because they're just getting the nectar, right? Or do they feel, like, threatened because you're near the plant? Because we
Unless
have
you step on them.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're good. Yeah, they might accidentally run into you because, like, the whole idea of a beeline, making a beeline for something, they have a goal. But yeah, no, unless you're like stepping on them like my kids do, then you should be fine. Or if you stand like right in front of their hive where you're blocking their entrance, yeah, they might get a little angry at you. But otherwise, I mean, my kids, I have four kids. Like we have about, let's say, a 6 or 7 feet clearance between the front of the hives and where they're allowed to play. And the bees aren't bothering them at all. So, yeah, unless they're barefoot.
So that's where a bee line comes from? I always thought they were talking about Chicago trains. So making a bee line is with bees. I didn't know that. I thought they were always talking about trains. Yeah, like it's a straight.
Why would it be Chicago? Why would it be like New
York? I don't know why I made that up in my head, but I thought it was Chicago.
All right.
Okay. So we've taken up about a half hour of your time. I'm definitely going to open it up to everybody else. I know Blur's been jumping in. And Max, you're welcome to the show. If you want to jump in, feel free. I got some more questions. I could go on about bees all night. Because what you do absolutely scares me. Like, how many times have you been stung?
Countless. I don't even know.
It hurts
for a second. It's like someone pinches you, and then it's just like tender afterwards. That's about it, though.
Tender?
Yeah, like everyone's different.
Go ahead.
It's annoying, and if you get sung several times, then your adrenaline starts to go, and you need to kind of take a break. But that usually, if I'm just going in my hives in the backyard, I've only been sung, you know, once or twice doing that. I get stung the most if I'm removing bees from someone's ceiling or soffit, because we're destroying their homes at that point. So they'll go through your suit at that point.
They'll go through the suit? I thought, yeah, don't you have one of them, like, space people suits on? Bees can get in there?
Yeah. yes, I do. And I even wear, like, an extra layer underneath. But, I mean, if you're squatting or, you know, leaning against something and your skin is tight, or that your clothing is tight on your leg or on your arm, you know, they'll get you. Or if, you know, for some reason maybe I didn't fold my my sleeve over my glove, maybe they'll get under my glove. Or if your veil is right up on your face, I've heard people getting stung right on the nose. I refuse. I'm very careful about that. I've never been stung in the face, praise God, because I've seen people swell up on the face, and I don't want that. But yeah, no, they can sting through your suit, because what happens is that, like I said, when they sting, their little stinger just keeps moving, just like a lizard's tail keeps moving after you cut that off. Like it's its own, it's after, it wants to sting you. So it just keeps moving and wiggling, pumping that poison.
There's poison in the stinger?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just because of the way it shapes. So how many bee stings? How many bee stings? Yeah, that's a good question. So how did you know you weren't allergic to bees? Because, like, I'm afraid to have my son around bees just because I don't know if he's allergic or not.
Sure.
So as a beekeeper, do you keep, like, one of them, like, Pulp Fiction needles around just in case one of your sons was allergic?
Yeah, I do have an EpiPen.
No way you're stabbed. Are you stabbing him or is David stabbing him? I got you stabbing him. I got David passing out if he has to stab one of the kids with an EpiPen. I got you being the one that's going to happen. Hey, full disclosure, I'm going to pass out too. DJ Cesaro's got to be the one to do it because I ain't going to make it.
Yeah, no, unfortunately you don't know until they're stung. So, yeah, just be ready to run to a hospital or have an EpiPen on you. I got stung as a kid, and so I'm just like, well, I'm probably fine since I was fine then. And kind of, this is a whole other topic, but there's some research that shows that if I'm a beekeeper, that it's really important for my kids to get stung. Because the stinging, the poison that goes into my bee clothing, and I want to research this more myself, but there's some research that shows that that pheromone that goes in there and the poison that's in those stingers, when I wash it with my clothes and the kids' clothes all together, it can actually make them more allergic to the sting, to the poison, being exposed.
See,
yeah.
That's amazing. So, I mean, and now we're getting into like biology, and God bless women for having kids. If I was a woman, I would never have a child. Like, if you're pregnant, see, I've always heard that if you're pregnant and you eat a lot of peanut butter, your kid won't be allergic to peanut butter because they'll be getting a steady dosage of that while they're inside you. I was wondering if that was the same thing with honey. Like, if you eat a lot of honey while you're pregnant, will your kid not be allergic to bees? But you're saying that, you know,
you can't feed a child honey.
But if you're eating honey and the baby's inside you, they're getting honey because they're feeding off your.
Not the same thing. It's
you're not feeding them.
It's not because of allergies. It's because of the bacteria.
I was gonna say because that's why you can't drink, right? Because even though they're getting breast milk, they would still get alcohol in their system, right?
Not the same thing.
Right. Okay, but I'm not myself stung a bunch when I'm pregnant. Like, it's the poison from the stinger that's the what they're becoming allergic to. So if people are allergic to bees, it's because they're allergic to the poison that they're putting into the person.
All right, so what's
if that makes sense.
What's the difference between the poison from the stinger and eating bee pollen to help get rid of allergies?
One's pollen because it's from a plant. The other, or
is that your next question?
The other is the
That's DJ Cesar. She talks to me like I'm an idiot, like just common knowledge. But if she grew up where I grew up, this, I mean...
It's two separate substances to be allergic.
Blur can speak for this. When we grew up, didn't have a whole lot of bees. Like, it wasn't like bee swarms everywhere. Like, we didn't really have to be concerned about bees that much.
That said, I do remember getting stung directly in my nose. Well, Stephanie, you mentioned not wanting to get stung in the face. I got stung directly in my nose when I was a kid. Because there was an angry-ass bee right outside my back door. All my cousins were over. We wanted to go out in the backyard and play. We opened up the door. We saw the bee just hovering there, just waiting for us. So we slammed the door. Everybody was scared. I'm like, move out the way. I ain't scared of no bee. I got this. I open the door, walk out, shut the door behind me so the bee can't get in, face-to-face with the bee. And sure enough, she flew right up, stung me right on my nose. I swear I fell back into the door because it hurt like hell. They opened the door, pulled me in like it was Saving Private Ryan. Everybody was like, get out the way. He got stung. And that's when my mom was like, yo, once they sting you, the bee die. Y'all good. Y'all can go outside now. Get out the house. They dropped me on the kitchen floor, and everybody went outside and played.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm not. That's hilarious.
Could you breathe afterwards? Was it like your whole face swollen?
No, I'm not allergic. So, you know, as I said, I took one for the team. I don't know why the bee had a grudge. It was a single bee. A single bee by itself. Just wanted to hold a bunch of kids in the house. Didn't want to let us outside. But, you know, somebody had to do it. It was me.
You Are you lost. Sure it was a honeybee? Or was it like a bumblebee or a wasp? Yeah.
Oh. I have no idea. It died, so I'm assuming honeybee.
So what's
If you saw it dead.
How can you tell the difference between a honeybee and a bumblebee?
They look different. Honeybees are generally smaller. They have the stripes on their I'm gonna take it back to high school. You got the head, the thorax, and the abdomen, the three parts of an insect. And so the abdomen has got the stripes on it generally, but it's more of like a their thorax is pretty fuzzy, but it's not like a bumblebee is like all fuzz, right? They're all and they're fat. They're really really fat. So you kind of have to just look at you can Google it.
Okay. So what are
you learn to eyeball
wood?
It.
What's the ones that
the wood of the carpenter bee. Carpenter bees, yeah.
My guess. So do all bees make honey or just honeybees?
They make a little. They'll gather some nectar and some pollen for their babies, but not like honeybee, like not like excess. If that makes sense, they're just feeding. Kind of like a bird will just grab a couple worms for their babies. They're not grabbing excess food. So bumblebee, all the other insects, they just grab just enough. Whereas honeybees are the only ones that store it for the winter. And they're not solitary. That's what's also interesting. A lot of bees are solitary. They just live on their own, whereas honeybees, they have to be together to survive through winter.
So do we only want to save honeybees? Can, like, all the other bees go? Like, can wasps get out of here? Can we get rid of wasps? Because they're awful.
Right. No, unfortunately, that's one thing that I have found out that kind of makes me sad about honeybees is they're picky. So they will, there's certain things I'm like, I've got these beautiful knockout roses. Like, they're going to be all over this. No, they don't like knockout roses. They don't like certain plants. And so we do need all the bees. We need bumblebees to get out the knockout roses. We need honeybees for the tulip poplar trees, you know what I mean? Like, they all like different trees. and they all grow at different times. And, yeah, so that, yeah, we need them all. We need them all. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, circle I'll give life. You some of the roses. I'll give you some of the roses in our backyard because bees love them things, because I'll be out there doing yard work and I'll go to prune those roses and there'd be bees and wasps and everything in those things and I just go in the house because at that point it's their territory. I just walk away.
That's smart. That's smart.
Man, I'll mess
with
them
all. For the most, they're not going to bother
you. So, Stephanie, let me ask you this. And this is a personal question. So since you're a bee advocate, you love the bees. The bees are important. We need to save the bees. Was you sad when Macaulay Culkin died?
No. that's wow.
Or
that's deep.
Or did you think he deserved
it? I was sad.
Like what side of you?
But I was also kind of like annoyed with him. Like, why the heck did you knock that thing down? That was stupid. Like. But I don't know. I was mixed feelings. Mixed feelings. Can I say that?
Mixed feelings of Macaulay Culkin died. I mean, after Black and White, I'm glad he died.
Oh.
It's a movie. He's not really dead. He's not really dead. I'm not being this sensitive this time. It's just a movie. He's alive. He makes good money.
he might not be making money, though. That's not true. But wait, hold on, Stephanie. Before we move on, like, I think he was going to get to this. So we talked about, like, the magic property, the honey. Is that BS? Like, honey, like, it goes on oatmeal, I guess? I don't really know what else you put honey on, but, I mean, I'm not putting it on my cut, like DJ C. Siren was saying. I'm not doing that. Like, what else can you do with honey besides eat it?
Oh, gosh. So earlier, like I said, my kids love peanut butter and honey sandwiches because they don't like jelly. They're weird. You can do it on – I mean, I use it in a lot of baking recipes. If I don't want to add too much regular sugar, I can put honey. You can put it in your tea. You can put it – gosh, what do we use it for? I bake a lot. I do a lot of baking. I actually am just now dabbling in soap making, and I actually put beeswax and honey in my soap. So that's something that's, yeah, to create that antimicrobial properties again in your soap. I just like honey. We actually, tonight, we had a, you can put in anything, sweeten it. We made like a, I made like an orange chicken, and we were like, it's not sweet enough. So we just drizzled some honey over it, and it was fantastic. You can just put it on anything, sweeten it up, and feel guilt-free. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So we'll just have to have you guys over and put honey.
Oh, yeah, you know we coming back over. We're vaccinated, so let us know. You know, we got to get y'all over once we clean the house up, but, you know, that's personal stuff. We'll get to that outside the show. But
I just wanted to say, Blur, you never had a butter and jelly toast. Like, that's all I used to
eat. I ain't got
nothing
with honey.
I mean butter and honey. Butter,
you know,
butter.
You don't live in the country.
You take honey, and you take butter, you mix them up.
Black people don't use honey.
Yeah, I did. And then you put on a piece of bread, toast it or untoast it, and then you just eat it.
No.
I mean, I had some sandwiches. I mean, I had syrup, so I guess we were upper middle class, so we didn't have to use honey.
Yeah,
we had syrup there with you, though.
Syrup with honey. Mm-hmm. Some syrup with honey, and there you go. Delicious.
Y'all were
poor. Yeah.
Y'all ain't had no bologna?
I can't put it. I got to understand what your kids are going with, the peanut butter and honey. I mean, I had peanut butter and syrup. Like, that used to be my jam back in the day. Peanut butter and some syrup sandwiches, that was slapping. I can't go honey.
Yo,
maybe because it takes too long to come out the bottle, man. I don't know.
Y'all was too proud to get welfare, get the jelly.
Welfare honey.
They had welfare honey?
Yep.
Well, we ain't never got that.
Yep.
Huh. That's interesting. Never knew about
that.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Filet honey packets. No, have you ever heard of, like, a hottie toddy? I mean, like, lemon juice and honey when you were sick?
Mm-hmm.
You never had that? Like when you,
Stephanie, you know me. You know me well enough, Stephanie. I just drink liquor straight. If you sick, if you sick,
not a vodka,
get a
right?
bottle of Jack. Get a half a bottle of Jack, and you'll sleep good too tonight. Don't do all that extra filler. If you gonna get drunk, don't play around with it. Just get right to it.
You can put alcohol in a hottie toddy. I think there's definitely versions of it where it's like honey, lemon juice, and like vodka or something like that, or rum maybe. I don't know. I know David's Jamaican side of the family. They definitely had those kind of drinks. And she would always, any time we got sick, she would be like, "Did you make the honey and lemon drink with it?" But she never drank alcohol, so David's mom did.
Book.
Okay.
All right, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I know it's getting late. Let me see if I got any other questions. Oh, so swarms. So when you see a bee swarm, is that like a death sentence? Because that's like a scary movie, right? Like you come outside and there's just like a bunch of bees on like your chair. Like what do you do? Just get a hose and just hose them down? Because that gas is coming. Like all you're doing is getting the bees high. Like you can say you love the bees, but all you out here doing is drugging these bees to get them sleepy so you can move them, which is for our benefit and it keeps them alive. So I support you. You know I support you, Stephanie. But if you see a bee swarm, like that's like a death sentence, right? That's like a scary movie thing. Them things are just flying around in the air and just landing on stuff.
No. Call me. First of all, call me. give you my number if you need to. Because, definitely. If you see them in a big cluster, that's actually the most passive that they will be. It's because they've actually just filled up on honey themselves to travel with the queen to find a new home. So that's when you see a swarm, they're just looking, they're just like stopping at a hotel before they get to their final destination. They're not planning on staying on your chair or your tree. If they're just in a ball, like almost the size, as big of a basketball size of bees. That's actually the least time that you need to be scared of them. Unless they're Africanized bees, which we don't have those in Virginia, so you're good.
You going to get racist on Stephanie? only the Africans are the problem, huh?
Those damn black bees. But no, like, so what's the biggest beehive you've seen or encountered?
I did a removal a couple months ago. Actually, no, there was an even bigger one than that one. Back in Georgia, there was a friend of ours had bees in his shed, in his dad's shed. And it literally was, this shed was 10 feet tall. And we opened up the siding of the shed, and the comb and the bees covered from the top of the shed almost all the way to the floor with bees and comb. It was massive. Massive. I would say it was probably, like 80,000 bees, like 80,000 bees.
Let me ask you this. Why do we remove the bees from there? Like, why can't we just let them stay there?
It's your shed. Do you want
to
use it?
Like, if you go in your shed, so if they built that in there, so if you walked into your shed, they would attack you?
Yeah, that's why he called. When he was mowing the lawn right along the shed there, he was getting stung. So once again, if you're going in front of their entrance to their home, yeah, they're not going to like that. And especially the vibrations, like weed whacking, that kind of stuff. That's why a lot of people who do lawn work, they don't go near beehives.
Why would they build their home there?
Because it was fantastic space. It's insulated, small entrance. To some degree, they choose their home. They want a certain size box to live in a small entrance. Sheds, a lot of people's soffit is one of their favorite places to move into. Soffit. So like where you go up the wall of the front of your house and where the roof kind of angled down. It's like that, I don't know, it's like the plastic part that meets your wall of your house, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
It's like the overhanging of your roof. And they can go up in there where you don't have any insulation. So,
okay.
Yeah, they find a... But no, and I will say, like, I'm not just keeping bees to just get honey. You can't get into beekeeping just for honey, because you'll get depressed when they all die on you, or things just don't go well and you don't get honey that year. You have your good and bad years. But I mean, the fact is that I'm not a bee haver, as some people say. I'm a beekeeper, meaning I will actually treat them for mites. I'll try to kill off the mites. I try to give them the right amount of space to grow. I will actually split them and multiply hives so that they have space to grow rather than going into people's houses. So I'm taking care of them. I feed them through the winter. I give them what's called sugar water, and so I'll feed them through the winter to help them make it through the winter if they don't have the resources in their hive. So yeah, beekeepers aren't just doing it for the...
I know African bees will love that sugar water. I'm sorry, I just had to slide my joke in there. Go ahead, Stephanie, I'm sorry.
No, bees, David jokes because he thinks bees are racist because, I mean, they don't like dark colors in general because they remind them of bears. And so they see darker colors as predators. And so David's like, I'm not going in these hives because this is like...
Oh, my God. The cops are just, the bees are just like the cops. Golly. These bees don't know there are white polar bears out there.
Oh my God.
I was going to say, so I guess that means you take care of the bees and David stays behind his side, huh?
Yes. I mean, you can put on the white suit. It's a white suit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's why you put on a white suit, huh? This is just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking being a black person. Even insects don't like it.
I know, right?
Oh, man. All right, man. We got three more minutes. So I've already talked to you about honey not really tasting good. It's a false narrative. I will try the honeycomb. I don't feel good that it's been spit up and given to another bee. But I'll trust your judgment. So, all right, so my last real big question before I open it up to everybody. So since you're a beekeeper, you take care of these bees, you treat them and all that stuff, how often do you get bees in your house, and what do you do? Like, do you just kill them? Like, yo, you done cross the gun line, boss? Or do you, like, try to catch them and take them back outside?
So David hates flies with a passion, and we actually have a fly zapper inside our house. So, unfortunately,
if
a bee makes it in, yeah, they die in that.
David's a murderer. Why isn't he supporting
but,
the better? He put one of them blue lights in the house so they can fly to their death.
Yes. Yes.
Knowing that you got bees outside.
Yeah, oh, we've had conversations because he wants to put one on the outside, too. And I was like, no. We've killed a couple bees doing that. So you have to be... I totally get it. Flies and mosquitoes are the worst, and I get it. I just maybe try to only have them on at night because bees do go in at night. They stay in their hive at night. They usually aren't. They're not nocturnal, so they're not out foraging in the night. So yeah, if it's on at night, it's fine. But if it's on in the daytime, yeah, you're gonna kill some bees. So be careful with that. But no, yeah, we've had a couple in our house, but really. Yeah, I mean, I usually can pick them up and take them outside or put them in a jar and take them outside or, we actually haven't had too many in our house though.
You pick them up and they don't sting you?
If I'm careful how I pick them up, I don't want to, like, aggravate them. But, yeah, if I just put my finger down and they crawl on me, they're not going to be like, oh, person, ah! They're going to just, they're just going to keep walking around looking for what they're looking for, usually.
Oh,
so, yeah. No, they're not. That took a while for me to get be able to do that. That's not something you do overnight. That's, yeah, unless you're crazy.
All right. Well, we've taken up about an hour of your time. Let us know how people can get in contact with you. Like I told your husband, I'm going to come by. Yeah, for some reason, my wife wants to go on, like, a bee adventure with you. Feel free
yes.
to take her. I'll take the kids. Me and David can take the kids. Y'all two can go have fun with these bees because I'm not coming anywhere near. I will only be entering
yeah.
your house from the front door from now on because I ain't messing with them flying monsters. But I am willing to help out to protect the bees. So let us know how we can, you know, support your business. You know, like I said, I got to come by. We got to get some honey from you. I'll take this honeycomb. But let the people know how we can get in touch with you. And, yeah. Before we get into the closing, because we've taken an hour up of your time, it's 10 o'clock. Explain to the people how drinking bee pollen, because DJ C. Tyron mixed hers with, like, lime juice, but how drinking local bee pollen can help you out.
Mhm. Yeah, it's it all depends on what you're allergic to. That really makes a difference. And once again, depending on where the bees are getting their pollen from. So, you know, like for example, I think I'm allergic to clover. And so if bees are collecting clover pollen, and then I eat that pollen, which is also sometimes also in the honey. I mean, they're kind of passing it all around in the hive, right? So it'll be in the honey as well, or the nectar. And so by ingesting it, I think your body, it just builds up this immunity to that particular allergen better than if you just try to fight it off by yourself. So, yeah, I would say for me, during the season, I don't have huge allergies. I definitely get stuffy certain times of the year. And if I take like a tablespoon of honey every day or mix it, even like a teaspoon of honey with tea or just a spoonful or whatever is your favorite way to do it, I do have a difference in like just how I'm able to breathe better. I think it's very helpful.
Do you want to jump in here before we get Stephanie up out of here? And Stephanie, you're welcome to stay on for the rest of the show. I just don't want to take up too much of your time. MX, I know you had a question about allergies. Anything specific you want to ask?
No, she answered it. I'm good.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, let us know how we can reach you, how we can get by honey from you, if we have a swarm, how we can get in contact with you. Because I'm just going to come to your house and just say, I got bees at the crib. I need you to go over there and go get them. But how anybody can get in contact with you and support your business, because we really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah. I don't mind. My number is 770-851-2699. It's an Atlanta number. So the 770-851-2699. Definitely willing to come out and take some bees from a tree. But I mentor people in beekeeping. So every other Saturday, Cheryl's welcome to come out on Saturday and join us, because I know that it's intimidating. And I totally get that it's helpful to have someone mentor you, and it's free. I'm not, you know, charging anything for it. People are welcome to just come out and learn. And I do sell what's called a nuke, which is like a 5-frame box of bees when they're available. So I try to be helpful and just help people see, like, hey, this is what you're getting into. Start small and just have someone to mentor you, because you're going to have a lot of questions if you get into beekeeping. So, but, yeah, I sell honey, all that stuff.
And you know what I want to talk to? I have a friend in the marijuana business. Is there any way to do marijuana infused honey?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
What's the fat content of honey?
I have no idea about that.
There's no fat content, and it won't bond to the THC.
You got to speak up a little bit, actually. You're coming through a little muffled.
I said if there's no fat, and THC bonds to fat, right? So if there's no fat, if there's no fat in honey, no fat molecules in honey, then it won't bond to it. So you need to use something like lichen or something like that that you that will absorb the THC that just happens to be infused in the honey.
Right. There is no fat in honey. I'm looking it up right now. It's mostly sugar and carbs and potassium.
Yeah. Yeah, so you would need like lichen. There's something called lichen. You can get it like granulars. And you can basically mix the honey with that and then use that to infuse it.
Okay. Well,
sounds like a nice
that's down the line. That's just a question. That's a text question I got from the people. But, yeah, so we're going to wrap it like that. I mean, it's not the end of the show. We're going to get right back to our regular shenanigans. Stephanie, you're welcome to stay and have some fun with us with the show. But if you got to get out of here and call tonight, if David's giving you the googly eyes, because y'all opened a bottle of wine and he's even talking about the queen bee all night, he's giving the googly eyes, you got to hop off tonight. I fully understand, but I definitely appreciate all your conversation tonight, and we'll definitely be in touch. I got to come by and get some.
As long as I don't die at the end.
They all die at the end.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
Anytime. You're welcome to join us again. All right, folks. Well, Blur, MX, DJ C-Sign, anything for Stephanie before she goes?
Thanks for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Love to educate and learn stuff.
Watch out for the murder hornets. All right, well, again, everybody, that was Stephanie. If you need her number, you got any question about bees, you know, feel free to holler at me, and I'll get that information for you. Thanks again, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us. And if we ever have any bee questions in the future, you will be the first one I'll call.
Thank you.
All right, folks.
That's the name.
Anytime. All right, folks, so we're back to the regular show. Hope you enjoyed our bee segment. Let's save the bees. Let's help out our local beekeepers. Take some bee pollen if you need some allergy help. But we want to get back to our regular scheduled program, man. Thanks for everybody for joining the off-ramp. Let's go around the room real quick. Like we said, we got a shortened show tonight because of our special guest. So we only got about 40 minutes left. Man, that went fast. I could have talked to Stephanie for a little bit longer about bees, too. That stuff is crazy. The fact that you got people just walking up, grabbing bees with some bare hands and walking away and, like, not even worried about getting stung. Like, I think. I'm not going to make it. I'm just not, like, you're just not built for some things like that. Like, I'm getting a fight with people at a bar. There'd be knives and guns out. I wouldn't have no problem. You tell me there's a 10-foot wall of bees? Yeah, get out. I'm not going nowhere near that. I'm not built for that. But, all right, DJ C-Sire, anything you want to talk about to the show tonight? We only got about 40 minutes. So anything on your mind that you want to discuss with the group tonight? Blur, anything you want to discuss with the group tonight?
Not a topic, but I do want to put this out there. The DMX album, disappointing. One-word review.
So do you want to talk about it, or you just want to tell everybody about your horrible music taste? I'm not that mad about that music take, but I mean, I do want to discuss the DMX album. What'd you think about it? It's post-hominous. See, this is what happens when you're a couple glasses of wine and post-hosthumous. Posthumous. So, all right. So, the DMX album came out. A lot of features on it. What'd you think, Blur? You thought it was that disappointing? I mean, what's the last DMX album that you weren't disappointed by?
You said that I was or weren't disappointed by?
That you wasn't disappointed by.
I might have to go back, but I probably think, like, I really enjoyed the Grand Champ album, but I don't think that was, I can't remember what was in between Grand Champ and now. I think he only had, like, one or two albums in between that. So we're only going back, like, three albums.
Yeah, but I mean, we're going back, like, 15.
I don't know if that's a lot or not. Is that a lot? Two disappointing albums?
We're going back, like, 15. Grand Champ is probably, like, 15 years old.
Yeah, but how many albums has he put out in between Grand Champ and now? I don't think he's put out too much.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think DMX has put out a really good album since his second album. I didn't think
really?
Grand Champ was all that great. I didn't think Grand Champ was all that great. But, I mean, it's just my opinion. But, MX, what do you got? Did you think the new album was disappointing?
I haven't even listened to it yet. Sorry, but I didn't listen to it.
Yeah. Haven't got to it yet. Okay. Well, I mean, because DMX's first and second album were clear all the way you can listen through with only, like, minimal skips. And then there was X. He had that first single out that I thought his album, I thought DMX was going to be the greatest rapper ever. I tell DJ C Sound that all the time. When he dropped that first single, I thought DMX was on his way to being the greatest rapper of all time. And then he dropped Party Up, and I was like, oh, it's terrible. And then he dropped that album. He dropped that song with Cisco where he just named women's names for 45 seconds. And I was like, yeah, it's over.
But see, Party Up still goes. Like, What These Bitches Want still goes. That's from 98, 99. And that still gets played today.
I still don't think it's good, though. I think those were, I'm going to pay the DJ to play them. I don't think they were ever considered good records.
I don't know, man.
So,
it can't be rocking for 20-plus years. Yeah. Like, you can still play it now, and it'll work. So I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not liking it, but those songs, I don't think you have to pay to play because they're still getting played right now, and ain't nobody paying for it.
I can't believe you think What These Bitches Want is a more of a banger than anything on J. Cole's latest album.
I wouldn't say anything.
It's women's names.
And look, it could still play right now. It could play right
now.
No,
it can't.
And cats will get hype.
No, they won't. Who's getting hype for Pamela, Keisha, Vanessa, Renee, Cheryl, LaJean, Tanya, Renee? About three Kims, LaToya and Keisha. No one's getting hyped for that.
They just had a whole Instagram TikTok challenge with that song.
Oh, I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know. And it's probably an awful challenge.
I'm not on that either. It was just chicks just changing up their look to every name with a different look.
And that was hot? I don't think that's cool. So you just put a different wig on? I mean, that probably says less about the song and more about, like, you got to make sure you know who you're waking up with in the morning. And she got that.
I mean, I'm not saying that it was good for men, but I'm just saying they picked that song to try something with. Like, that song still goes. It's still being worked.
The song doesn't go. The song doesn't go. I mean, let me ask M Extra Money. What do you think about Party Up and What These Bitches Want?
I mean, I gotta kind of agree with Blur, actually. Like, I think, especially What You Bitches Want, just because of the whole Cisco vibe. Like, you can definitely remix the shit out of that with the beat. Yeah, if you just take out all the names and shit, but it still goes. But people still vibe with it, especially in our age. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I still think that you can still get some club time with it, and you'll get people on the floor. Party Up, I mean, I don't know. Like, X was very spotty with me. You know what I mean? He'll go ridiculously hard, then get religious on you, then drop a dud all in the same, like, five-minute sequence. Like, fucking got you ass, like, hype wanting to fight somebody. The damn, that, why did I just punch that dude in the face? Because now he praying to me today. I'm like, man, I'm just depressed now. I want to leave the club. Like, he all in the same night. Like, you just get that out of the brain. So, don't know. It's, yeah.
DJ C. Siren. Did what these bitches want from a nigga go off out to Hampton U and party up? Oh, my God, I hate party up. Oh, my God, I hate that song so much. Cisco singing was great, and it was a great beat, but it was an awful rap.
I mean,
which is a lot of this new DMX album. It's good beats, some of them, and awful rap. But what about you, DJ? Am I just? Is it just my personal taste about what these bitches want and party up? Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. That's awful.
I don't know. What's the question? No, we didn't.
Are you going to start shaking your ass for what these bitches want from a nigger?
No, I'm not.
What about party up?
No, I can't stand it.
I don't know who's partying to this music. I don't know where the stuff goes.
Where my dog's at, that's
see, I'm that doing. Goes, she.
Yep.
That goes. I don't know. So you were disappointed by the album Exodus. I wasn't disappointed because, you know, you could tell DMX dropped that verse on the last Lox album, You Ain't About Shit. His voice still sounded pretty good, but the lyrics just weren't there. And you could tell, to me, you could tell on this album that DMX was going through something because DMX didn't sound good on this entire album, but for about two songs, even in the song with Griselda, which is I loved the joint, like you could tell he was just trying to say something, but there wasn't really any content there, like he was just there to make a song, whereas they went in and killed it. Conway and Benny back to back was just whoa, that was just nasty. But I didn't think DMX did anything special. So I'm with you, bro. It was kind of
50 years old, trying to, like, recapture that same energy, like, 50 years, like, what, 30, 40 plus of those with drug, heavy drug use? Yeah, he's not going to sound the same. He's just not.
You're right. You know what I mean? I'm not giving him any excuse. I'm not saying that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just, like, but see, you said it was disappointing. I'm not disappointed. I kind of expected this.
Okay, yeah, so you didn't have high expectations. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of expect that's what it was. I'm glad they put a lot of features on. I'm glad Swiss did some of the beats. But I didn't expect DMX to come out with some great passion project because he's been through so much. I'm pretty sure he needed a couple bucks to make sure things get paid off, and Swiss and them helped him out. That's a good look. I hope he got the money to pay off his estate so his kids are good.
That's all I can really ask for.
But I say MX, it's an album worth checking out, especially since you're our age group, you're from our area. I think it's got a little bit of nostalgic feel. Some good features on there. I hate every single girl track on there. Every single girl track is terrible. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's like 13 songs on that. I think like I enjoy like 3. So yeah, 3 out of 13 ain't good. That's not a good ratio.
How many songs on the J. Cole album did you enjoy?
three and a half. Three and a pop. I'll give it 3 and a possible.
Get out of here. That's terrible.
I enjoy the same 4 songs that y'all enjoy that y'all keep talking about.
That is terrible. I did think the Jay-Z and Nas song was pretty dope on the DMX album. It sucks that we waited all this time for Jay-Z, Nas, and DMX song, and we got it when DMX was, you know, rest in peace, was at his lower end. Like, it'd have been dope to hear some more Jay-Z, Nas, DMX music when they were in their prime. But, I mean, Jay-Z told a great story about DMX on that whole LeBron barbershop talk. And Jay-Z's such a great storyteller. Like, he's really underrated to win. And it's one of those things where, like, I try to control it here Like, I mean, because, like, M-Extra, when he gets on his run, he can get a good story. When Blur's in his bag, he get a good story. When New York, New York's in his bag, I try to bow out and not interrupt y'all. Because, like, if people can really listen to y'all, y'all really tell great stories, and I die laughing at them, and I really enjoy them. The problem I have with the barbershop is Jay-Z's another one of those people who, when he starts talking, he tells a great story. He has great timing. He has great inflection. And they just kept interrupting him. I kept wanting to say, yo, if y'all don't shut the fuck up and let this man talk, as great as LeBron is, I think LeBron is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen in my life. His influence on the culture is nowhere near what Jay-Z is. So when you got Jay-Z in the building, everybody shut the fuck up. Just let him talk. And they just kept interrupting him. And it was pissing me off. But, yeah, so back to the DMX album. MX, you should check it out. Did y'all watch The Shop with Jay-Z and him?
Nah, man, but send me the link, though.
I watched it, and that actually, like, you mentioned that, gun makes me have a question. Like, why do you think that is? Do you think people want to feel like I got to insert myself here, like this is my house? I have to, like, you know what I mean, like, I have to be the one controlling it, or like, why? Because you're right, it wasn't just LeBron; it was the other dude too. I don't know who it is. The light skinned dude, like, yo, you keep interjecting, like, yo, just let this man tell his story because he's killing it right now. And I don't know what it is. I feel like they just want to be like, yo, I have to be the one controlling or orchestrating this.
I think it's what I realized this week about the selfishness of human beings. And I've had a long talk about DJC. So me and DJC Science have been going back and forth the last couple of days because I got in trouble on Facebook again. Well, I ain't really getting in trouble. I'll never get in trouble. But I posted something on Facebook, and it made the rounds and all stuff. And, you know what I mean, it had all this different type of responses to it. And what I realized, and the great thing about my wife is that me and her, like, she doesn't pull any punches. She knows me. She knows the best way to be with me is just be honest, straightforward, and give me an honest opinion, and we can talk about it. It doesn't have to be a fight. We just talk about it. And what we've really, like, kind of came to the conclusion is that human beings are just naturally selfish and can't look within. So, and that's a broad topic, but in regards to this Jay-Z interview, I think it's just one of those things where you know Jay-Z's such a great person, but you want to make him feel like – you want to interject yourself so you want to make him feel like, yeah, I belong here too. I can be a great storyteller like you. Well, you might be a great storyteller, but you're there all the time. Just let him get his shit off and just relax. Like, I think people don't listen to other people.
But hold on, though.
Go ahead, Marshall.
I think it all – because – and again, I was listening the whole time the B person was on. But you interrupted her, like, a lot. So I think it's just the show moderator. Even if it's just to get a joke in the middle of her story, I think it's literally it's a subconscious thing when it's your platform to feel like you can just do that. Like, I don't think it's intentional. I just think it's, I got something to say. It's a funny joke. I'm going to be able to do it because I control the damn mute button and it's my show. I don't think it has anything to do with them being selfish. I just think it's just a part of just when it's your show, you can just do that. Like, even if you, because as you were thinking, I was just like thinking about all the show, like the podcast, the drink camp, even if you go to with Charlamagne, like they'll interrupt too. Like, they'll sit back, but they'll interrupt, too. I just think it's because you can. I don't think it's because they think it's a bad thing. They're just like, yo, it's my show, so when I want to say a joke, I'm going to say a joke. And there's nothing wrong with it, but unless you're the audience just purely listening, and you're like, well, shit, man, I don't want to hear your ass no more. I want to hear, like, what we're saying. But I think once you're when you're in that moment, though, I think it's a subconscious thing that, like, this is my show. This is what I want to say. I can say it. And you're subconsciously doing it. I don't think, even because I brought up the point about the bee lady, you weren't doing that shit because you were being selfish. You were just doing it because you had a joke to fucking say, right? Like, I can't, you won't call yourself selfish right now for interrupting her and her stories, right? You were just doing it, right? And it was just part of the natural conversation that you were having with her. And I think that's what they see when you're in that moment. But I think when they replay that shit, they probably will come around to what you're now saying now, right? But I don't think, like, when you're in that moment, you or anybody else is really being, like, selfish or intentionally doing something. I just think that they say, you know, it's more or less like, you know, like I'm just adding on, even though you're really not adding on, but I'm just, it's my, this is how I'm flowing with what's going on in front of me, to me.
You're probably right. Oh, good. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I am finished. I'm finished.
And I think I have to agree and I think it's because you might not recognize it in the moment. Now, I don't know if it's because, I don't want to say entitlement, but it's like my house. Maybe you feel like you have to, like more so than I just can. It's like I'm obligated because I'm moderator, I'm the host. Like I have to keep it going as opposed to just letting this person go. Because Charlamagne, even though he does that a lot, I've actually heard him say about being an interviewer, I think it was with Larry King or Taxone or something, like, hey, you have to know when to not talk and just let the person go. I think it was Taxone when Taxone was interviewing Beans, and he was like, Taxone didn't say anything that entire interview. He just let Beans go, and he said that's the mark of a great interviewer on knowing when to shut up and just let the person go. But then he gets on his own show and doesn't do that.
Yeah, I'm actually right. If I interrupted Stephanie a lot, then I apologize. I do try to insert a joke here and there just because I think it's a great joke, but I try to, like, be quick and, like, I try to get in and get out just because I think it's funny. It breaks the, like, I don't want anybody to ramble for more than 20 minutes because they show that anybody who talks for more than, you know, I think they said, like, 60 seconds, people stop listening. So I try to get in, get out, just to break the monotony. But you're right, I don't do it as a selfishness thing. But, you know, it's one thing if this is, like, our show and we invite a guest on. Like, the guys who was interrupting Jay-Z, like, they were just extra hanger-ons. Like, they weren't people who, like, naturally, it wasn't like it was LeBron who was interrupting Jay-Z.
God.
Like, you know what I mean? It was just like...
Yeah.
The random side people, but I mean they're probably
I thought it was LeBron that you were saying it to. So if it was random people, then yeah, I take back what I said. My whole point was is I thought you were talking about LeBron as the host, and then applying the same thing that you just said, right? Like just kind of like trying to break it up type of thing, right? Not nothing intentional, but if it was just random people in the back, yeah, LeBron needs to tell their asses to shut the fuck up. Like ain't nobody interviewing you. Somebody need to check them.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally different.
Yeah, so, but now you made me feel bad, so Stephanie. If I interrupted you too much, and I apologize.
No,
but I always listen back.
You'll go back and listen to the show, and you'll realize it, though. You'll go back and listen to the show and realize it, but like I was saying, it wasn't that you were doing anything intentionally. Like, I'm going to interrupt her every single time I chance I get. That's not what you were doing, like, right? Like, you had a rationale. You were doing it. I'm just saying from my perspective as someone who was just listening to the conversation, that's exactly what I would think another host would do. You know what I mean? Just trying to break that up, trying to keep it going. You know what I mean? Insert the joke because you can, like just subconsciously doing it, not feeling like you were actually doing it. But when you listen back, then you were like, oh, shit, yeah, I did it. You know what I mean? But that's retrospective. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if JC wasn't doing that or LeBron wasn't doing that shit, then that's why I brought that up. I thought you were saying LeBron was interrupting Jay, not some random people that didn't give a shit about what the fuck was going on.
And just to put a button on that, like, Jay usually will tell people, like, yo, you cut me off. Like, he did that to David Letterman when David Letterman, like, was interjecting to him telling the story. Because Jay can be a slow talker. So people were like, yo, is he done? Is he going to keep going? And he's like, yeah. I'll talk to you, just cut me off. Like, he'll do that. He ain't do it this time, but, yeah, he'll let you know.
Yeah, it was a great the Shop is a good show. They do way too much editing. And that's the other problem at Metro. Like, we don't edit our show.
it just is what it is. It's very organic. It's full of just honest, you know, all of our opinions and things that we're passionate about, things we like joking about. We don't edit anything. I might have to get my brother Fat Dude to edit it one day. You can tell the shop is heavily edited. So
you talking about like post? You talking about like post production? You talking about like post production that was edited?
Yeah. So you could tell where, like, well, I can't tell because I wasn't there. But maybe Jay-Z didn't get interrupted. They just cut him off because maybe he said, "I don't want that in there." You know what I mean?
No, you
and
can
they
tell.
May do it. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we only got about 25 minutes left. We got to get through a couple topics. So, Blur, that was your topic. MX, you got anything you want to talk about tonight?
Nah, man, I'm good.
All right. So, Kyrie. Yeah, we got some a lot of old topics too, and it's only a couple of them, so we can get through some sports stuff. So, let's go back to an old topic. Does LeBron have black privilege? LeBron went partying with Drake. He didn't go. We don't even know if LeBron got a COVID shot because he's one of those I don't believe in medicine people. The government's trying to kill black people. People don't talk about that, but he's one of them. So LeBron decided to go out and party with Drake. And Jason Whitlock said LeBron has black privilege. And Maxer, you brought this to the group. Does LeBron have black privilege? Like, is this the first case of black privilege?
Yeah, I think Jason Whitlock. I think Jason Whitlock, along with Candace and Tim Scott, need to go on the trading block. And I'll take some, I don't know, Cicada. And two bags of peanuts for both of their eggs. Yeah, you know, like,
hey, the dude, like a person for a bug that's gonna be dead after it has sex.
Yeah, because the shit that they said that he said is basically like setting us back like forever, right? One, it's called the power of star, like a star power, right? There's certain shit of reason why if I am, you ever think that like Matthew McConaughey is going to walk in a, and wait in a line at a club? Is that going to be white privilege? No, it's not. It's called, he's a star. He doesn't have to wait, right? Like stars don't wait in line, right? Their expectation is that they're here. So they're just going to get the table and get set before me. And I'm a kid, as mad as I'm going to be, but I mean, shit, like, how mad can you really be? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, and so I think that, and I'm honestly tired of, because I was ready to bring this up, too. I read, it's a black dude with his daughter talking about critical race theory, and he only got a TikTok talking about that he wants a teacher, that it has nothing to do with your skin color. You can be whoever you want to be, no matter what the race is. First of all, you don't even understand critical race theory just by that statement. And then, like, so I just think that we as black people, we can't even get out of our own goddamn way to progress our people forward because we got people that do that type of shit. And then the white people jump on that bullshit because it's like, see, look at that black person who don't believe in critical race theory. Let's put them up. Fox jumped on that dude on TikTok, put him up on their show, right? Because, like, look, there's a black person who doesn't believe in critical race theory, right? And thinks that we can all just live happily together in a system that's equal for everybody. No, and goddamn well, there's laws in the books that still talk about slaving and lynching being legal, right? Like, so when people say those kind of things, especially us, that black, it undermines all the fucking people that we are standing on the shoulders of, right? Like, who fought, who died. Jason, well, when the fucking last time that you passed a piece of legislation that helped anybody come up, right? But you're going to talk about black privilege. Come on, motherfucker. Like, come on, bro. Like, you're a fucking commentator, yo. Like, you ain't in the streets grinding. You ain't on motherfucking, like, the Capitol Hill legislating for any fucking thing that has to do with anything that has to do with your community or the uplifting or the people. Like, and I don't even know this dude, but I'm just going to say it just because, right? Because as ignorant as he says, it may be that may be just the same as ignorant as what I'm saying, right? But to me, it's like that's what was so disappointing because you couldn't even separate the fact that all stars would do that, right? If Michael, you can, if that was Michael Jordan, he wouldn't fucking get kicked out. Like, if it was Tom Brady.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, Luka, anybody. Like, anybody with that fucking clout would not have gotten kicked out. Like, the NBA is about money. That's a business. You ain't taking your fucking best player out of the game in a playoff game. Who the fuck makes that kind of decision? That's like taking Tom Brady out the fucking East of the NFC Championship game. Who the fuck wants to see that shit? Nobody. Nobody's going to want to see that. Yo, you're not, it's not going to happen. So, like, I just think that he, it was a whole moment where he wanted to try to seem like he was smart, try to get some more likes, more followers and shit, and placate into the fucking white population where he doesn't even need to. Bro, you're on a fucking white ESPN network. You got that fucking platform, bro. So just, like, live in that lane. But you don't got to succumb to it. Like, you don't got to say that shit. That gave you no more followers. If anything, it just subtracted from the shit because you said some dumbass shit out your mouth that had nothing to do with race. It had zero to do with race. And it's like, yo, like, I'm just tired of, like, that type of thing. Like, yo, like, it, some shit has to do with race, some shit don't. And when we take the shit that don't have to do with race and interject race, it sets back everything that we're talking about that having to do with race. Like, it just, and it just, like, that's just, I don't know, rant over, yo. Because that shit, like, I can go on forever. Like, that shit is stupid.
Hey, I didn't want to interrupt you.
It's stupid, man.
I will say this. This is going to be a little unpopular take. I kind of feel sorry for Jason Whitlock. And it's because I'm not saying I followed his career or anything, but I liked him when he used to be on ESPN, when he was on ESPN. He's the fill-in for Michael Wilbon on PTI, like, a lot. And so, like, I used to really enjoy some of his takes. It wasn't until he went to Fox that I think his stuff got a little bit more outlandish. And then he had the one, I can't even remember what started all this. He had the one bad take with LeBron. I think it was when they spray painted nigger on his gate. And Charlamagne jumped in on it. And so they was kind of tag teaming. And ever since, he's been like a dude with his back against the wall. And I could kind of see it. I feel like he's just lashing out and wanting to, like, always strike first before somebody come at him, it seemed like. Like, he's smart enough to know this isn't black privilege. Do I believe there is such thing as black privilege? Yes. This ain't it. And I think he's smart enough to know that. But now he's in a position where he's got to do something to, like, shock value. So he's got to say something that's shock value. He's got to say something that's going to, like, get more attention towards him. And I think he's just, like, struggling to just stay afloat as far as relevancy and as far as, like, I guess not being going down as, like, again, I say a clown juice. I think he's looked at as a clown. I think he realized that, yo, I used to be taken serious, and now all I'm known for, I had one, he might not even consider it a slip up, but he had one bad take or one opinion that wasn't really shared by others, and he's just been going downhill since then. I kind of feel bad that that's the trajectory he's on. Like, I seen him on the Roland Martin show. And he had some good points. He actually had some good points. When Roland takes his time and he lets people talk and he actually goes back and forth with people, he had some good points. I can understand where he was coming from on certain things. But when he does stupid shit like this, you can see it's like, all right, you're just looking for attention. Like, what was the point of this?
So what areas do black people have privilege? DJC Cyrus.
Yeah, I wasn't asked that question.
DJC, sorry, that's terrible radio. You just curl up in the Eagles blanket and don't say nothing.
I
did put you on the spot. All right. So, M. Extra, where do black people have privilege?
I have no idea. I would ask Blur that question.
All right, Blur, roll you, because I have a great answer.
We can say nigga.
Oh, we can say the word nigga. That might be better.
We can say a nigga that nobody else can say, and we get essentially, I would say, a free pass. We get essentially turned violent because of that. And almost, again, it's not going to be an automatic get out of jail free card because people will have to pay some consequences, but it's widely accepted. You say this to a black person, hey, you're going to deal with the consequences that come from it. Largely accepted, not 100%, but in large portions. Like, that's just one, but yeah, like, I think that's the most obvious.
I need another one, yo. I need another one.
Okay.
That don't count.
That don't count? That definitely counts.
Nah, that doesn't count. No.
In my, so DJC Siren, that's a perk, not a privilege. Blur, do you have another privilege? I got a great one, but I want to save mine to the end because I want to see if anybody gets it. It's the first thing that came to my mind, and I can't believe no one said it yet. Blur, do you got another
one? Yeah, I mean, I got some small other things. Like, I say, and it probably comes with from the year to being mistreated. Like, there are certain laws. This probably would come in effect under some critical race theory, but there are certain laws and certain policies to benefit black people directly that other people can't. And some people, like, you take, what's the shit where everybody's supposed to be getting the black person in the job?
All right. You talking about affirmative action?
Like, affirmative action could be considered a black film, even though, it, you know, it didn't stop at just black people, but at some point,
yeah,
it was probably more black people than just Africans or other
Asians
people
get
in
that.
The country.
Asians can get that, too. White people get diversity grants going to HBCUs, so.
Yeah, but I think when it's an inception, that's going back a little ways. When it's an inception, I guess the purpose or the heart of it was for black people. Of course, they didn't cap it at just black people. Like, maybe they possibly could have or should have, but they didn't. So I think, I don't remember when the affirmative action went into place, let's say the 70s maybe, I don't know. Like, for that time period, and I'm pretty sure we didn't have as many Asians in the country as we do now, I'm pretty sure at that point there was some black people receiving privileges that, I mean, they weren't previously getting.
All right, so y'all ready for my answer?
Yeah.
The basketball court. Rest in peace, Dame Lillard. Black people will always be chosen first on any random group in America. And you can pick a terrible black basketball player. I've been burned sometimes by just giving the eye test. But our
I ain't going there. I'm gonna go with the tall person over the black person. I'm gonna take the tall person.
Nah, bro. Like, we picked you up on the basketball court. We've been disappointed.
Not never.
Football, no. But look, man, yo, black people will always be chosen first in basketball. We just will. And you'll be disappointed.
I mean, I guess if you said sports, right? But, I mean, I get that, but I don't think
it depends what sport.
I just think, yeah, but I don't know if that's a privilege, though. That's not.
You line up a bunch of people, but I'm just, no, but if you think about, and the privilege, I mean, of course, I'm making lighthearted, but if you're talking about, like, think of all the times that we just went to a random court to hoop. If you're a random white person who went to the court and hoop, like, no one's probably picking you up. Like, you're probably going to stay out there for about an hour or two before you get next. Like, you have to get in line. But if we just show up, somebody's like, yo, let me get them over there. It's a privilege.
Yeah, so we get the benefit of the doubt. We are given the benefit of the doubt that we're athletic. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a huge privilege. Like, I'm not saying it shakes the core of America. But if we're just talking in general, like, what privileges do we get? Well, when it comes to athletics, when we step on the court, like, unless it's golf, even with Tiger Woods, he ain't shake the tree that much. But unless it's golf or baseball, we're probably going to step anywhere in America. Somebody's going to be like, let me take a chance on them without knowing anything else. Like, that's our privilege. Without knowing anything else, let me take them because they're probably
I honestly would include baseball with that, too, just because you fast. You can steal bases. You can butt, run down the damn base. You can put me in center field, and I'm definitely going to be fast instead of taking a chance, putting you in the outfield thing. You fast enough to chase down balls.
Well,
the only reason why
I didn't say baseball is because whoever's picking the teams on baseball is probably white, and they're probably picking their own first.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only reason. But yeah, you know, if you're just picking like, hey, let me just get an athletic baseball squad, our privilege is probably sports. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Hey, right. Nick Cannon is about to have his fourth child in 6 months. He's about to have three different children in like the next 6 months. Is that bad or good? Well, not bad or good, because that frames it in a
that frames it in a positive or negative light. Are you impressed or are you concerned?
I'm not impressed. I am impressed. I'm impressed the fact that he can knock three chicks up at the same time. Because it's hard to get pregnant around here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to, like, have the perfect timing. And he had perfect timing on three straight times. Like, that's impressive. That's impressive. The fact that he was able to get three chicks pregnant at the same time, it's not impressive. I mean, he can go to any fucking bar and shit and be like, yo, come home with me and then take a girl home. Like, just a random, you know, groupie-type chick. But the fact that he was able to knock three of those groupie-type chicks up at the same or around the same time, that's impressive.
See, I think you need a paradigm shift, Master. I think you're looking at it wrong.
I'm concerned. I'm not going to say concerned because, you know what happens when you have unprotected sex. I think Nick Cannon might be a victim out here, man. I think he's like 50 Cent. Oh. Have a baby by me, baby, be a millionaire. I think they put the word out, like, yo, they know where they operate for the most part. I think most, and I don't know how smart these women are, but if they're smart enough, you could plan these things out. Like, all right, I'm going to get Nick tonight. And and they probably know, like, hey, he ain't going to ask for an abortion. He down to keep the babies. They set for life. It's like, you get Nick, you got the lottery ticket. Let me ask you this. Now, Nick Cannon almost died. Like, if we remember, like, it wasn't too long ago, like, Nick Cannon was on his deathbed before he got, kicked off of the Masked Singer and all that stuff. Like, Nick Cannon almost died. Is this just one of those things where he, like, yo, I got a second wave at life. I'm just trying to have as many kids as possible?
I don't know. Why yo, that comes with a price tag. So, like, what Blur was saying, though, like, you got to know. You got to know you ready to kick out some dough, right? So I don't know if that's – it might – I don't know. Maybe a combination of all the things that we just said. I have no fucking idea, but he ready to kick out mad child support dough.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly he got it to pay. I wonder – I don't think he pays child support for his two kids with Mariah Carey, so he ain't even paying for them, I would imagine.
Hey,
so this is definitely the other four or five kids.
Wouldn't he be getting money from Mariah, though? Like, because...
I mean, I think he's probably eligible to get money from Mariah, but I don't think he'd ask you for it.
Hey, who about to get money from the woman? Jay Cutler. Didn't we just... Who? MX should put that in the chat. Ain't Jay Cutler about to get half his wife's estate because they get divorced? I don't even know who Jay Cutler's wife is, but I'm assuming she's rich and he's suing her.
Yeah, he definitely has more money than the reality TV star.
Oh, is that who she is?
I'm assuming that's the one he was married to. He was married to the chick like from the Hills or something, and like growing up in Beverly Hills or something. I don't remember what show she was on. She was on some shit like that.
Oh, she might not be a reality TV star. She might come from money, though. If her reality TV show is growing up in Beverly Hills, I mean, she probably had money prior to him, which means she might have more money than him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, her family, then, yeah, I don't know, like, how much of that is hers. I mean, they're still fairly young. Like, she grew up with the Olsen twins. Not with them, but, like, they went to school together. Mary-Kate and Ashley. The Olsen twins. Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Who's that?
Okay. From Full House.
Yeah.
That's their names. Mary Kate and you only said three. You said three names. I thought it was only two girls. Mary Kate Olsen. Oh, that's their last name. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't keep up with this stuff. All right. So.
Okay. This is the third Olsen sister, though, Elizabeth Olsen, from the Marvel movies. So she's probably the more famous Olsen now, but.
There's three of them. Oh, so there is three of them. Are they all twins?
Well, she's not one of the twins. She's actually the younger sister. She's not, like, a triplet or nothing.
Is that Black Widow? She's a bad-looking American, yo. I love redheads.
Scarlet Witch.
Stephanie. Oh, no, she's awful.
I mean, as a character, not as a person. I hope you're doing well as a person. I'll never judge anybody as a people. I don't want to get in trouble no more. Hey, what's the female version of an Uncle Tom? Blur it. And Maxtra, I'm only leaving y'all on tonight. So y'all can just jump in. We only got about 5 minutes. We got burned through these old topics.
I don't think there is one.
No, but we have to create one. I was calling them Sensitive Susans, but I got pushed back on that from DJ T-Sign. What is the female version of an Uncle Tom? Uncle Tammy? I mean, Aunt Tammy?
Tammy.
I have no idea.
We got to come up with something.
Yeah, not tonight,
though.
Tanya seems a little... I don't like Tammy.
Aunt Tanya?
Yeah, I guess it's Aunt Tanya. Auntie Tanya.
All right. Hey, should we let... So, Kyrie Irving stepped on the lucky dude at half court. Russell Westbrook got popcorn thrown on him. Kyrie Irving got a bottle thrown at him. Should we let athletes fight the customers?
No.
If they cross the line. Why not?
No, because everybody just assumes, like, these athletes is, like, these fans is, like, due to, like, everybody of all, I've been seeing, like, all week or whatever, like, hey, if he was in the street, you wouldn't do that. They might. We don't know. And you're just incentivizing, all right, let's get one of these MMA dudes who just want to punch Kyrie Irving in the face. All right, if I just throw something at him, they're going to bring me down. We're going to bang it out. I've been wanting to choke this nigga out. Nah. Leave it to the proper authorities. Because, yeah, maybe it is some little pencil neck dude who wouldn't say nothing to Kyrie or to Russell Westbrook. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is somebody who bought that action. And then what? So now Kyrie got to bang with him, dude, who's going to choke him out? Nah, leave it to the proper authorities. Arrest them. Make them face full penalties. Don't let them go into another NBA arena. Not just that one. Any NBA arena anywhere.
I'm extra.
I just think it's bad for business if that happens. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, one, we're not paying for the star. I mean, we're paying for the star, not the fan. So if by chance he does get his ass whipped, well, now my product, you know what I mean, is now hurt. And the person that I'm not paying got all the, you know, notoriety for beating up, you know what I mean, the person that I'm presenting to my product. So I just think it's bad for business all around.
I feel like they should let athletes go in there and tussle if the athletes want to tussle. I understand what y'all mean. It's definitely bad all around. But, you know what I mean, like, if you're bold enough to throw something, you should be willing to get punched in your face. And I understand what Blur is saying. Like, what if the dude's an MMA dude? Yo, you should, your team should be allowed to jump y'all. I guess
now you add extra to it. All right, so let's bring Jackie Chan down there. He take out the whole Atlanta Hawks. Now what?
Yeah, it's a great Instagram video. Jackie Chan should still get arrested for throwing something at Trae Young. But if they tried to jump him and then they lost, then, you know, maybe they'll stop trying to fight people. Or maybe they just say, hey, this was a tough night. Look, my biggest fear... Shout out to my man M-Extra Money, because I still think the fight that we got in Hammer Jacks was over the wrong person. My biggest fear is what happened with Ron Artest. Somebody throws something at a player goes in the crowd and hits the wrong person. Like, that's the thing.
And the rest of that video, there was a big dude who came up from a couple rows over. He was teeing off on somebody. Like, somebody, I can't remember what the players who was trying to break it up. He hit him with like a 5-piece combo. Big dude just came down. He's like, oh, I want some of this action. Like, bink, 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 bink.
It's definitely dangerous for business. I just worry about if somebody hits the wrong person. But, you know, if you bold enough to get – if people will snitch you out. Like, the dude who threw the popcorn, the dude who threw the water bottle, Like, all of them got snitched out because most of us are there, like, most of us are there just to enjoy a good show. And if we see some fucked up shit, we're like, yo, man, he did that shit, yo, because he going to ruin it for everybody. Like, I ain't trying to deal with this bullshit while I'm here. I got kids, so. All right, man. That's our show tonight. We didn't get to Osaka and the mental stuff, thank God, because that got me in trouble again this week. Me and Facebook.
Hey, man, it's like, always next week.
I know. Me and Facebook just going to have to divorce. This is the second week in a row I got in trouble for some just benign stuff that I just be talking about. Something I don't even think really means much. I just think that it invokes good conversation and good thought. I think I would get point of views from so many different angles, and then, like, people just get so angry. And I just, like, I don't understand why. So we didn't get to Osaka. We got to talk more about the NBA playoffs. We didn't get to stepping out the house in do-rags and shower caps. I want to talk about the AMC stock. I want to talk about, is Israel, like, the worst country ever? And I don't want to get banned from, like, Jews. I got best friends that are Jews. But I feel like Israel's doing a lot of stuff. And maybe I'm wrong. I reserve the right to be wrong. But Israel's been in the news a lot. And I just don't get it. I just want to have a conversation. Maybe I'll bring foreign politics people on next week so we can talk about this whole Israel situation. Go ahead, M. Extra. You got about 40 seconds.
All I was saying is that if you're going to do that, then you actually got to bring in somebody, not necessarily from a military standpoint, but just somebody who knows the history about the land that they're fighting over. And you can't be catered because you can't be a Jew. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because then you'll get that whole perspective of why this shit is happening.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to reach out to my Jewish brother and my Muslim brother. They get along, so I think, and they have good conversations. Like, I'm on a group chat with them. But I don't know if they're willing to talk about that in public. It's one of those situations.
Yeah, they might buy it, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I think it'd be a good conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about that all next week. Let's see, what we got? Oh, Women's Softball College. We didn't get to that, to the College World Series. And then I'll ask what y'all did for Memorial Day next weekend. So let's get out of here. Rest in peace to all the soldiers, all the branches of government that passed away serving the country. I hope you and your family are doing okay. Happy Memorial Day as we remember y'all. That's it for Gunning. DJ C Sirens out. She passed out. M. Extra, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Nah, man. See you next week.
All right, Blur, anything you want to say to the people before we out?
I shoot you, I'm brainless. If you shoot me, you famous. What's the NBA to do? That, and the only Queen B we acknowledge is Beyonce.
All right. Yeah, I'll let that go with that. Hey, make sure y'all protect y'all mentals. Love y'all friends even when they don't love y'all. We out.
One glass.
Mental.
Here I come. You bought the rest. Here I come.